If you have your little sheet in front of you, I failed to do this earlier, and I do not want to get in trouble with Pastor Hubert. So verse number 8 there of Psalm 138. Can we say that together? It's our prayer, right? The top of your list. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Can we pray it again? The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And everyone said amen. 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 What was our sister's name that gave the testimony here? Ruth. Ruth is a prime example of this. The Lord's going to fulfill his purpose for my grandkids, she was saying, right? Lord, your love endures forever. Don't abandon the works of your hands. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Pray for our own lives, to pray over situations, intercession. I've said it for years that I really believe intercession is one of the most selfless things that we can do in our entire lives. To intercede. How many of you know what that means to intercede? Matter of fact, down the road, I'm going to teach a neat teaching from Dr. Hayford on that, but in the word paga in the Hebrew regarding intercession, but to stand in the gap, but the privilege that it is. And tonight, what God laid on my heart ties in really to this prayer that we're praying this week. And as she got up just to share then about her grandchildren, I thought, that's just exactly what the word is about tonight. So I think it's just ideal, and she was giving us a great example. But I want to give you a simple thought and a simple word of encouragement when it comes to an area of prayer, really what I would say is a great key. And we find it here in Luke chapter 18. And just before we read, and many of you will know, very, very familiar passage regarding prayer, I would like to ask if you would just, and this is kind of unique, but if a few of you, and we'll just take a couple minutes here in just a few minutes to do this, if you can think of something in your life that you prayed for years about, I'm not talking for 3 months or 6 months, but I mean something that you prayed for years and God answered that prayer, if you could tell us how long you prayed and just what the prayer need was in just a minute, okay? To be an encouragement to some that are here tonight. I had a lady come to me Sunday, and this is no surprise, and these things happen so often. It happens to you, I'm sure, but she came. She may be here tonight, but she was in just a broken-hearted condition, I could tell, and I put my arm kind of around her and to get really close in my ear, and she was speaking rather softly but in a broken way, and it was over a need in her family, a very urgent need for her son. And tonight what I want to share about, it might be you. It may be in a situation like that, but Jesus gave us an incredible teaching here in the realm of prayer that I want to look at. And I want to filter it through a verse that we're all so familiar with. These three remain, say it with me, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, I want to filter this thought through that verse out of 1 Corinthians 13, the final verse there. But Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, quote, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. How many hear a little bit of humor in this parable? I mean, you can throw a little bit of fun into this thing, but also the soberness of it. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Have you ever prayed for a long time without God answering the prayer? If anyone in this room has done that, let me see your hand. Okay. Is that all? How many of you have ever prayed for something for a long time and yet it didn't happen, but you kept persevering? I hope it's all of us here tonight. I read a while back in 1844, George Mueller told of how he felt convicted to pray for four people that he knew, individuals that he was acquainted with. 18 months passed before the first one came to find Christ. He prayed 5 more years, and the second one came to the Lord. He prayed then 12 and a half more years, and the third one came to know Christ. And 40 years later, the other two were still holding out, but Mueller said he was happy to keep praying because he believed it was just a matter of time. Can you say amen tonight? Now that's what Jesus was talking about here. It's not often that we get a commentary the way that we do here in Luke chapter 18. It's very rare in Scripture. Matter of fact, it makes it really easy for us. We cannot misinterpret and exegete this passage of Scripture. We can't, right? Because Luke gave us the explanation. Look at it again, verse number 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable, and then Luke explains it for us to show them that they should always pray, say it with me, and not give up. How many know we can't misinterpret what we're reading here tonight? All right, it's just so simple. This is a wonderful reminder and admonition to us tonight that when we pray, don't quit. Now, I don't want to lift any hands here, but how many of you, including me, have ever started to pray for something and somewhere along the way, you kind of lost the faith in it, and you ceased praying about that? And maybe we say, well, I committed it to the Lord. But how many know Jesus isn't talking about that here? He is telling us, Luke says, that when we pray, this parable is being told, so when we pray that we don't give up, that we continue praying. And clearly that it would be in essence that you could say here, according to the Lord, it could be a sin in some instances that we would stop praying. How many know there are times that what we're praying for, we may be the only one praying for that situation? And I want to encourage you tonight in that there are times where I have prayed it so many times for prodigals as I've shared with people and been praying. And what I'll pray about is that on that other end, that God will speak to a believer there that will come across that path. Have you ever prayed that way for a prodigal? And because I've had them in my own family. And if I feel, Lord, I can't reach them, and to be praying. But many times we may be the only one that hasn't given up on that prodigal. And we keep praying. I have a wonderful story in my own family, our situation. Growing up, my brother and I, we were two brothers growing up. Then years later, my mom thought she had an ulcer. She was 43 and went to the doctor, and he said, well, you have a baby, not an ulcer. And Abraham and Sarah relived it in the Illinois district years ago as they were nicknamed. But Randy and I grew up together as brothers. Randy was 4 years older than me and fell away from the Lord in his teen years in a dramatic fashion. And for years was away from God. I mentioned something about this on Sunday night around the altar. And 23 years later, you talk about coming back to the Lord. 23 years later, in his late 30s, Randy loves the Lord. God is blessing his work in an incredible way. His kids love God. Randy is a model father. He is a model in so many ways that I could never have dreamed in his 20s. But how many of you know God answers prayer? And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we did not give up. And I want to encourage you tonight, I know many of you, I'm sure there's no one here that has, but if you might be here tonight and you've been on the edge of that, could I encourage you with Luke chapter 18? Jesus gave us this parable because he wanted you to not give up and to keep praying. And for little Ruth tonight, as she gives that testimony, to keep praying for those 4 grandchildren, that they will come through. Amen? Real quick, like, is there anyone here you could just state real fast, you could just state how long you prayed and what the situation was? Could you real quick? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. How many years would you say? About 20 years. Praise God. Someone else. 50 years. Amen. My brother, he told me probably at least 40 years ago, 50 Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Somebody else. How many years? What situation? Well, praise God, after 18 years. Yeah. Wow, praise God. That's great. One more. Somebody else? Brother Spain? Amen. Amen. Can you say praise God? Now, are you thankful that people didn't quit praying? And that's the key. Prayer is it's a mystery. I think between the sovereignty of God and the will of man as we pray, but to know that there is a battle, you know, that's waging, and that when we pray and we intercede, and that's when we don't give up in prayer, that many times it may be years, but we don't give up. We keep praying and believing God. And he works. Look at verse 6 if you have your Bibles open there. Verse 6, Jesus said for them to do something. He said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because this judge, he's a rascal. This is not a positive man in any way, shape, or form. His whole attitude, there's an arrogance. He's a judge. He doesn't have any mercy. But Jesus says, I want you to listen to what the unjust judge says. That is because Jesus was drawing the contrast with our loving Heavenly Father, who Jesus related, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, the precious God the Father, God the Son, speaking of him and relating, correlating the Father to this unjust judge. And then he says in verse 7, and will not God then, the Father, bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, who will he keep putting them off? And the point is, no, he will not. That if we go to our Father, we can go with confidence tonight that he is a just God, and that he will hear us. What can we learn from this? There's four little phrases I want to touch on, and then we're going to move into in the book of Romans a bit. But four little phrases here I want you to capture. Number one is that little phrase, day and night. And that is that we must keep on praying. We must remember to keep on praying. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? So first of all, we need to remember. It's easy sometimes for us to lose faith, to lose hope, just to cast it aside. But Jesus here is saying that we've got to keep remembering, remind ourselves to keep praying for these needs. The second thing is that we must remember the character of God. How many of you know when he's drawing the picture between the unjust and the just judge, that he is giving us a beautiful portrait, that the Father's nothing like that unjust judge. And he's contrasting for us the character and the nature of God, of who we pray to tonight. We need to remember who God is and his just character. Number three, that we must remember our relationship with God. Jesus says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? That's you and me tonight. Amen? That's us. And will he not bring about justice for us? So we continue praying because of our relationship that we have with him. And number four, we must keep remember what pleases God, and that is faith. And look at how Jesus ended, because it moves on to another parable. He ends this parable, this teaching, with these words, verse number 8. However, conversely, as I've just told you that parable, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find what? Will he find faith in the earth? That is at the heart of this parable. It's faith. Many times when we don't persevere in prayer, it's a matter of a lack of faith. And Jesus is wanting to call us. Luke says the reason he gives this parable is so that we will pray and not give up. And how many of you know that involves faith tonight? Perseverance involves faith. Now, in order to persevere in faith, there's something else. And this is a second key, and it flows with 1 Corinthians there. But that's hope. How many of you know when you persevere in prayer, it's going to take faith. But secondly, it takes hope. If you lose hope, hope deferred does what? Makes a heart sick. We have to, if we're going to persevere in prayer, there is something to keeping a hope. I heard it in Ruth tonight. Did you hear it in her voice when she's reading that? I heard a hope in that. Was it Ruth? I'm sorry. Yes, Ruth. There's a hope in her. She is not just believing, standing in faith, I'm going to not waver, I'm going to pray as a grandmother, but I heard in her a hope. And she said it in her closing word there, that God is working in these four grandchildren of mine. It's a hope. It's beyond faith. There's a distinction. There's a uniqueness to the two. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. Faith, NIV says, is being sure of what we hope for. And so hope is a partner with faith, and certainly when it comes to us praying and to standing in our prayer and in faith. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans, and I'd just like to look through a few examples of this in the book of Romans. Some of you love the book of Romans. It's personally my favorite. If you can have a favorite New Testament, it's the charter of our faith, the brilliant, incredible writing of the Apostle Paul. But I want to read through a few passages, if you have your Bibles open, beginning chapter 5, and we're going to look at a few. And I want you to note here the connection between faith and persevering in faith, because that's what it's all about, and hope. Because Paul used hope 18 times in the 16-chapter book. So in an average of once a chapter, he was bringing up the subject of hope in the book of Romans. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. How many of you really are happy about suffering? Say amen tonight. May we reach Paul's sanctification. May we also rejoice in our sufferings, because though we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, say it with me, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. I love that. Paul says, our hope in the Lord does not disappoint us tonight, because God has poured out his love. Now we've got faith, hope, and love right here. Persevering in faith. And we have hope that doesn't disappoint us. Why? Because the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Through whom? Through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Praise God. Turn over to chapter 8. And here he gave a little passage, a little section on hope, and we'll just focus on one of the verses here. Chapter 8, starting with verse 22, he says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. How many of you know creation's really groaning 2,000 years later? It is longing for the sons of God to be revealed. Not only so, verse 23, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, we too groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. How many of you look forward to all of this being wrapped up one day? Amen? And the Lord coming back. We look forward to his return. But look at the next verse. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? I'm sorry, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? See, hope operates when something's not realized. He's saying, otherwise, we don't need hope. Once I arrive home Friday night and look so forward to seeing my wife again and seeing Aubrey again, the hope that I've had now for the last 11 days, 9 hours, 23 minutes, I'm just kidding. But the hope that I've had to see her again will be realized. I won't need any more hope. I'll be there. And the hope of getting her here a week from Friday will be realized. Could I hear an amen tonight? It's been a long, just about a month, but I talked with George Wood's son-in-law, Rick, that attends here at Central. He's been 6 months apart from his family going back and forth. I went home and repented of all my grumbling, all of that. I just felt, oh, Lord, forgive me. But that hope won't need to be there because it'll be realized. See, and that's what Paul's point is here. So what does he say? He says, verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. It's perseverance. Friends, this is a key to praying through. This is a key to not giving up. It's not just faith. It's not a matter of just persevering, but it's a matter of hope being combined with our faith, an expectation, a belief. It's around the corner for us. I'll never forget my mom calling me. Actually, if I remember correctly, I was in the dorm at CBC when she called and said, your grandpa is not going to make it. But she said, Jeff, in this hospital, we have seen Grandpa Fanning, my mom's side of the family, his total countenance changed as he has opened his heart to Christ. And Grandma had been married, if I remember right, 58 years. And Grandpa Jim never fully gave his heart to the Lord. But my grandmother prayed every year of 58 years. And the Lord came through. And Grandpa was saved. Now, I guarantee you, had she lost hope, she would have lost faith. I bet you anything, had hope somehow leaked out of that woman, but I tell you, she was a godly woman, and she kept praying to the very end, and it worked, praise God. and the Lord saved and gave grace to my grandfather. But if we hope what we do for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Hope is combined with this perseverance. Quickly, move on over to chapter 15, and I'll read one out of chapter 12 for us. And I just mentioned it in this text earlier, but go to chapter 15. But let me read to you from chapter 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Do you hear the combination there? Be joyful in hope, patient in the affliction, the trial, the hour, but then be faithful in prayer. Do not give up. We see the connection there of hope and the connection of being faithful in prayer to keep persevering. Look here at chapter 15. I love this verse. And a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, sitting right there, the Lord, I felt, led me that night that I needed to touch on this verse tonight. So here we are, Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have, say it with me, hope. I love this verse. I love this verse. Did you capture this verse? Everything written in the past. Now, we know Paul's writing New Testament, so we can go back. Genesis to Malachi to Paul, although he included, and we know Peter wrote of Paul's writings, and they included them as scriptures. So the scriptures, what has been written, Paul says, in the past, hear that, was written to teach us so that, the intention of the Word of God is so that through endurance, perseverance, holding the faith, not giving up, through that and what? The encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I don't know about you, but the reason I love reading through the Bible annually, the reason we had launched a 2010 campaign, and every day now, almost every day I listen to it, sometimes I'll read it, but they still are just producing in our church back home. We're going through the Bible and as a church, and then they were speaking on something out of that text, which is about 20 chapters, and just pulling some out. It's been a wonderful year as I was there, and they're just continuing that. It's been a great year for the church there. But you know why? What I encourage, every time I read of Abraham, it not only builds my faith, it builds my hope. And every time I read of Noah, it not only just builds my faith, faith comes by hearing, but Paul says here in chapter 15, it's so that we might have hope. When we read the scriptures, when we stay in the Word of God, it not only builds our faith, but friends, we might have hope. That's the reason, one of the reasons for the Word of God. And so as we read the prophets of old, as we read all of the stories of the judges, and as we read through the kings, and we read through the Word of God, it helps us so that we will endure. We'll go through our affliction, we'll go through our trials, we will hang in there and hold in faith, but also it's so that we may have hope. Again, for everything written was written for this, to teach us so that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we can have hope. Amen. One more verse, the close of Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Actually, that's right, it's about midway through, I think, chapter 15. Verse 13, may the God of hope, how many of you know he's a God of comfort? He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's referred to as a God of many things in the New Testament and Old. But here he's called the God of hope. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? He's a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you, what? Trust in him. That's faith. Faith and hope. He's a God of hope. May he fill you with joy and peace as you keep trusting. See the connection between faith and between hope. And then we come to Romans chapter 8. If you'd like to turn there, if not, let me just read it to you. But as you pray and as you persevere in prayer and as we do not give up, right now, how many of you have a need in your life, in your family's life, in this church's life, something that you say, it's not met yet, but I'm not going to give up praying? Let me see your hand. How many of us? Okay, it's probably all of us tonight. Faith, hope, but how many of you know this? Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good to those that what? That love God, our love to him, and are called according to his purpose. And then we come a little bit further in it, the classic of chapter 8, verse number 35. Hear this and think about faith and think about hope as we read of the wonderful love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Persecution, sword thrust through. As it is written, Lord, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I grew up hearing and with a misunderstanding, really, of that verse. I thought that verse meant we water ski over everything in life. Isn't it great to serve Jesus? We never have any problems. We can just speak in the name of Jesus. But how many of you know the context of this is this? The context that we are more than conquerors is persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. It's going through it. It's fire. But you know what? In all these things, we are more than conquerors, Paul said, through him who loves us. For I'm convinced, amen, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, nor any other the powers, neither height nor depth, anything else in all of creation can separate us from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So hear me tonight. As we persevere in prayer in matters, Jesus said, don't give up. If an unjust judge is finally going to say, this person has irritated me to the point that I'm going to give in, how much more will our loving, just Heavenly Father respond to his chosen ones who pray in faith, who keep hope in their hearts, and see, love to me is the cradle to it all. It's that we rest in the love of God. We pray for an unsaved loved one, and we know God loves that unsaved loved one. We pray for that matter that house has got to sell for Kyle and Jess, and you know what? It sold the week before they were done here. Can you say praise God? You know why? Because God loves them. And so as we pray and as we persevere, we hold a faith, but we keep a hope in our heart because we believe in him. And then we know we're cradled, resting in the love of God as we persevere in prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together tonight. And according to Hubert's watch, it's 2:00, so we're good. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord. Now, would you with me as we close in prayer this night, would you focus for just a minute? We all raised our hands just then. I had something in my heart that I thought, Lord, don't let me quit in any way praying for that, but to persevere, to persevere, to persevere. What a joy to see Cindy Seitz in church a couple weeks ago. I love Doug and Cindy so much, and just to get to visit with them. How many of you have prayed for Cindy and kept praying, amen? And we pray in faith, we pray in hope, and now she's declared cancer free. Thank you for the love of God toward Doug and Cindy Seitz. Hallelujah. Now, would you picture whatever it is in your heart, whatever it is in your life, whatever it might be, and before we leave this room, can we say it together? Amen. Let's just believe. God, we are going to keep praying for these matters. There are hundreds of situations here. And God, we first of all say, we will persevere. We will keep knocking. We will keep going to you as a just judge. We will not give up. We will pray in faith. We will go through the fire. We will stand and believe in you, God, because we trust in you. We will do that. But also, Lord, there is going to be a hope in our hearts. There is going to be a skip in our step. There is going to be a belief that as we turn the corner, we're going to see that face. We're going to see that salvation. We're going to see that healing. We're going to see that marriage restored. We're going to see you do a miracle that with man may be impossible, but with you, Father, all things are possible to those that believe. And so we're going to have a hope in our hearts mixed with faith. And Lord, in the end, we're going to rest in the knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height nor depth, death nor life, angels or demons, things present, things to come. We know, Lord, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we hold that in whatever the situation is. We just let it be cradled that you are a loving Father, a gracious God to us. And so faith, hope, and love remains. But the greatest of these is your love for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we tonight commit, we will not in any way then shrink back, but we will press and persevere on, as Hebrews says. We're going to persevere and in prayer, as you taught us in Luke 18. And we say this in the name of Jesus, and everyone says tonight, amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to be with you this evening. Well, let's hold on to faith, hope, and love in whatever it is this week. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. We will see you. Well, Pastor Jim will see you Sunday. God bless you.